I would say anyone would try to solve things ourselves. Not working. Can you change to the next one? Thank you. Oh. Back. Yeah. So in times of trouble, we always try to solve things ourselves. We're trying to find solutions or find ways to solve the problem. And how do we do it? We usually based on our own skills, our own talents, our past experience, maybe ring a friend, or I would say the young people will Google it. Am I right? You run into trouble, you Google or ring a friend. For our generation, we're probably trying to solve it ourselves. Oh, we'll probably still ring a friend or whatever, okay? And what happens, and when you're in deep trouble, my past experience is these problems keep looping in your mind. You can't get rid of it. You can't get out of it. It just keep coming to your mind, keep coming. And then you don't know how to solve it, how to stop even. You can't stop it. It just keep coming into your mind. And you will become physically and mentally drained. So what the psalmist is telling us what to do when you're in times of trouble, when you get into that state of really almost hysterical type of, hysterical state. You need to run to God, not run to ourselves. Don't run to ourselves. You need to run to God because God is our refuge and our strength. From the first verse, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. We need to run to God, not trying to fix things ourselves, because He is our refuge and strength. What's a refuge? What's a refuge? According to the Oxford Dictionary, a refuge is a safe place that offers protection and or shelter from danger or stress. You see the war in Gaza? Lots of, damage or destruction, and lots of lives lost in there. And they have set out refuge there for the people to go in there, or an area where they will say, okay, this is the refuge, okay, for people to go there to escape from the war, for being, injured, whatever. A refuge is it's a safe place. So whenever we run into trouble, we need to run to God because it's really safe. It's a safe place. And also, God does not ask us for any condition, any special card or whatever to enter that refuge. He will let you in, whoever you are, whatever you have done. God will protect you. God will let you into this refuge. When you're in this refuge, you don't have to worry. You don't have to, worry about someone attacking you. You're free from attacks. But sometimes, I'm not sure whether you had that experience as well. Yeah, I've, you know, like, you're trying to turn your eyes to Jesus. I love that song, Turn Your Eyes to Jesus, you know. And you sort of try to focus on God. But there's still a lot of these thoughts coming into your mind. Have you got experience like that? Some thoughts that, you know, coming into mind and trying to discourage you or trying to, put you back into that sort of hysterical state or worry state. Sometimes it's actually because sometimes we have left some cracks in our spiritual life that allows the Satan to seep these thoughts through those cracks to attack you. Why do we have these cracks in our spiritual life? Sometimes it's actually our own sin. Or sometimes we didn't give the whole life to Jesus. Sometimes we only give part of our life to Jesus. And I remember I heard a sermon saying that, so if you invite Jesus to your house, would you invite him to every room? Your sitting room, your bedroom, whatever rooms. Or you have some rooms that you kept them locked and say, sorry Lord, this is don't go in there. This is somewhere I don't want you to go in. I like to keep it to myself. Now these rooms can form the cracks in your life where Satan can actually attack you. So a refuge actually allows us to rest, to take breath, to get healing as well. And in Gaza, you know, in those real war-torn places, it's also a place for food and shelter, you know. It allows us to recuperate, to regain strength, both physical and spiritual. Sometimes we get into the sanctuary, but we're still not getting rest. We're still not getting that rest and that peace in our hearts. Sometimes because we resist the Spirit's prompting to help us. You do not want to listen or do not want to follow what the Spirit is prompting us. Like what I've just said, there are some rooms in your heart that doesn't want Jesus to get there, to go in there. So the second verse, or the first verse, is God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. So we talk about the refuge, and it's our strength, because that's where we can regain our strength. And how we can regain our strength? We need to rely on the Spirit. It's not through ourselves, and we have to allow the Spirit to work in us. But sin always gets in the way sometimes. It's my own experience, okay? Sin always gets in the way. Or some bad habits, or some idols that we created ourselves will get in the way. The idol can be your work. It can be some material things. It can be what you're trying to achieve at school. When these things get into the way, you will have some resistance to the Spirit's prompting. You will have problem listening to what the Spirit is telling you. But Psalmist is reminding us, don't worry if you run into trouble. If you run into trouble, God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. That means God is always an ever-present help in trouble. When you're in trouble, God is always there to help you. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give away and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roam and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. For the Israelites, they believe mountains are there, you know, something that they can rely on, or something that's really solid and strong they can rely on. If the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, that means what they rely on or what they trusted is like broken or gone, you know. And imagine if the mountain fall in the sea, the waters will roll and foam, and they will be scared and they will be in fear. But the psalmist is telling us, therefore we will not fear, even though the earth gave away, even though the mountains fall into the sea, even though something that you rely on, you always lean on, is not there anymore. You can still trust in the Lord. What is the thing that you rely on all the time? Or you believe in? Or everything that you know, like, is that your job? Is that a trusted friend? Is that the money in your bank account? Is that properties that you own? What is that mountain you rely on? And imagine if those fall away. Imagine remember we have that financial crisis? What was that? Some years ago. We have a big fall in the stock market and the real estate market. Or if what you rely on or what you believe in, what you're getting support from, is those things, you will be in trouble. You will be in a lot of fear because you've got nothing to lean back on anymore. So the psalmist is telling us, Therefore, we will not fear because God is there. Fear is always Satan's work. He likes to instill that fear in you. Like in work, he may, you know, he might be instill that fear in you, like, oh, you do that, you will make more mistakes, and you get into trouble. Or if you do that, oh, your reputation will be ruined, or someone will, you know, make negative comments about you. Or if you do that, you might run into trouble of, you know, being sued or whatever. And also, he likes to instill fear in you, Satan. You know, like, remember those internet hatreds and stuff like that? That people can get into really serious trouble. And they even, I mean, they even get into suicidal attempts. Fear is Satan's work. And don't let that fear grip you. Don't let that fear overcome you. Because this is not what God like to see. We will not fear. Why? Because the answer is in the next few sentences. Verse 4. Because there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. It's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Now, in the Bible, there's a lot of, you know, similar phrases or talks about river, streams, water, you know. It always talks about, relate or points back to Jesus, the living water. So the psalmist is talking about, you know, you don't have to worry. God is with us. God is like a stream that provides for the city and for you. What would happen if we do not have water? I Google, okay? 3 days, we're likely to die. But we can actually survive 3 weeks without food if we got water. But another thing is, we will die if we have no oxygen for 3 minutes. So it's the rule of three. 3 minutes without oxygen, 3 days without water, and 3 weeks without food. It is very important to have water, but I think the psalmist is talking about here is not actually physical water that we're drinking. It's about the spiritual water that's coming from God, coming from the spirits. God is with us. God is like a stream of water that enters our hearts, if you allow Him to do that. And He provides that spiritual well-being for us. He will not let us fall. And God will help us at break of day. That means every day. Every day. Remember, God is going to help us. God is within us and provides for us every day. So the next verse, verse 7, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on earth. He makes woes cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. So God is our fortress. Fortress, in the Hebrew terms, it means high tower as well. So imagine you're in a high tower in a battlefield. So the enemy can't attack you because you're much higher than them. But you can shoot arrows at them or sort of like, yeah, attack them instead. So the high tower actually acts as like a protection for you, and also it allows you to have counterattacks. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Because God is with us, is within us. If you accepted God as your Lord and Savior, the Spirit will enters your heart, and you will, the Lord Almighty will be with you, is within you. And a God of fortress will be our fortress. A God of Jacob will be our fortress. It's interesting, he mentioned about the God of Jacob. He didn't take the God of Abraham or God of Moses or whatever. The God of Jacob, because Jacob is not actually a perfect model. One of the commentary in the Bible commentary said, oh, the God of Jacob, because, you know, Jacob has done some naughty things in his life. Like he schemes the birthright from his father. And he did some other naughty things as well. He just, like us, we're not perfect. But God actually accepts us as who we are. Although we've done things that not pleasing to God, but he still take us as who we are. Come and see what the Lord has done. From that, from the historic background, from the background I've just told you, what the Lord has done for Israel. He sent the angel. Just wipe out almost most of the army of the Assyrian in one night. 285,000. That's a big number in one night. Without even breaking the arrows, without even, you know, shattered a spear. Come and see what the Lord has done. Come and see what the Lord has done for your life. Did you look back in your life and reflect on what God has done for you in your life? Come and see what the Lord has done for you and your life? Do you do regular reflections on what has God done for you in your lives? As we reflect, I think it's important that we ask God or ask the Spirit to open our eyes, not just our physical eyes, but our spiritual eyes. We need to have that spiritual eye to see what God has done for us in our lives. For those that hasn't accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, sometimes I remember I you know, chat with friends or trying to talk or share the gospel with them. Sometimes they say, I don't understand, you know, what you're talking about. Sometimes I do simple Bible studies with them, and then they say, how come I don't see what you can draw from those verses, you know? You know why? Because we have the Spirit in us. The Spirit actually help us to understand what's the meaning underneath those words. And in also, the good thing is, it's different in every situation. Even the same, I'm not sure whether you had that experience, you read the same verse of the same Bible in different situations of your life, it gives you different meaning. Why? Because God is alive. The Spirit actually is alive. It gives you the meaning, the deep meaning, according to your life at that time. So I would invite, if you still haven't accepted Christ in Lord as Lord and Savior, I will invite you to accept the Spirit in your hearts. Because once you have the Spirit in your hearts, you will actually understand a lot deeper about the Bible. You will also have a much closer relationship with God. And the Spirit also not just teach us, also advocate for us, pray for us as intercession, you know. It prays for us to God. And also alert us about things that is not good for us. I'm not sure whether you have that experience. If you're trying to do something and you have a funny feeling in your heart, I don't know how to explain that. I have that it sort of, you just feel like just don't feel comfortable, and it is actually the Spirit's work. It helps to alert you to not to do things that is not pleasing to God. So come and see what the Lord has done. We need to see the world through the eyes of Jesus, the eyes of God, the eyes of the Spirit. We need to open our eyes, open our hearts, open our spiritual eyes to let the Spirit reveal to us and remind us what the Lord has done for you. Remember, we always we used to see there's some signs on the on cars, some stickers. WCC, is it? What will Jesus do? Is it? Yeah. What will Jesus do? I always believe that is important. See things of our everyday life through the eyes of Jesus, through the spirits. And then you know how to respond to it. If you reflect on what God has done for you in your lives, how are you going to respond to all that? How are you going to respond to all that? So we come to the last bit of the psalm. In verse 10, he says, "Be still and know that I am God." Before that, Psalm is saying, come and see what the Lord has done. He can seize the wall, he can breaks all the bow and shatters the spear, he burns the shield with fire. That means he can do anything to stop the war and take away your enemy, whatever. And then God said, be still and know that I am God. Be still. There's two parts of this verse. It's a very important verse. I always take that as one of my favorite verses, and I keep reminding myself, be still and know that God is God. Be still. It doesn't mean that you have to lie down and do nothing. Okay? The Bible is not telling you to be just staying, in China there is the youths, actually, the younger generation has a new belief. It's called tangping. You know what tangping means? Lying down. If you Google in Google, what happens? What's the most common behavior in the younger Chinese generation is tangping, lying down and doing nothing. Okay, they just maybe they were brought up in a good family. They don't need to do anything. They don't need to fight for their academic results, or they don't need to fight for a job or whatever, and they choose to adapt this sort of attitude, just lying down, do nothing. So be still is not lying down and do nothing. Be still, you stay put and stay steadfast in whatever you're doing. You're not jumping in front of God. You're not trying to do things that is do things your way, fix things your way. You need to stay put. So, for example, if you're surfing in a certain ministry, be still and know that I am God. So you need to stay put. You need to stay steadfast. Sometimes we're just trying to solve things our way. And we forget where is God in this particular situation. Remember Uncle Jim did the training on spiritual direction? And I did a little bit of, it's not really a formal thing, but just a casual chat and practice with him. And one of the practices telling us is to ask that question all the time. Where is God in this situation? So if you run into trouble, where is God in this situation? Or not even sometimes in trouble, when we need to make decisions. Like if you're going to send your kid to school, to a primary school, to a secondary school, where is God in this situation? If you're going to buy a house, where is God in this situation? If you need to make an investment, where is God in this situation? Always ask that question. Where is God in this situation? What would Jesus do in this situation? How would God like us to react in this situation? Be still. Be still. Stay put. Stay steadfast. Hold on to your calling. Hold on to what God has given you in your hearts. So what's the consequence then? After doing all that, if you be still and know that I'm God, if you take God as the refuge and regain strength from Him, if you allow His river, His water, His Spirit to flow into your heart, to provide for you, to nourish you every day, what is the result? If you stay still and know and let God be God and give God the right place in your life, a lot of the time, even myself, I must admit, I do not give God the right place in my life, in some situations. I forgot about it. I just think, well, this is simple. I'll just, okay, if this happened, I'll do this. This is from my experience, you know. But I forget, where is God in this situation? Did I involve God in this situation? So, if you've done all that, and be still, stay steadfast, stay put, and give God the right place in your life, what's the result? I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. God's name will be exalted. And the psalmist reminds us again, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. It's sometimes a lot of things is easy said than done. I remember years ago, I run into a little situation with work, and someone accused me of doing something that I didn't do. not nasty thing, but. And then at that time, I was like, oh, the whole world is falling apart. Because at that time, my kids were young, and I'm just in a new country, you know. I haven't established myself. And yeah, it's like my life just fall apart. I have such fear. This keep looping in my heart, in my mind. Oh, what am I going to do? I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to, you know, I won't be able to support my family. What happens to my kids? All that. And I was just in total disaster in my life. And at that time, one friend of mine introduced me to BSF. And the first night I attended BSF, right? They were studying minor prophets. Minor prophets. And the whole night, because my mind was like looping, I couldn't even get anything into my heart, into my mind. But there's one verse really wake me up. Guess what that word is? Return to me. I will return to you. And I just wake up and say, oh my God, what have I done? I'm trying to fix things for myself. I'm trying to, you know, do things, and I forgot about God totally. I'm just trying to do things myself, trying to fix things myself, my own way. And God reminded me from that BSF lecture, return to me. I will turn to you. And from that moment, I wake up. And I really, truly give my life to God. Not locking up any doors, any rooms in my life that I did not allow God to go in. And sure enough, He is my refuge and my fortress and my ever-present help every day. And that river has stopped flowing, as you can see in my spiritual life. I'm still actively serving. I'm still loving God. I'm still loving to share the gospel with people. So, yeah. This is my little life experience. Okay. Hello. It's Bible is not just stories. They are actually things that you can apply to your everyday life. Good. We have finished Psalm 46 today. Shall we have a prayer before we go? Okay. Father God, thank you that, yes.